Hello, everyone.
I feel like you're far away from me.
If you feel like it, can you come closer? But you don't have to. There's lots of spare seats close by. I like to see your smiling faces. Even my own sister isn't coming closer to me. Great. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. I'm really excited about all the things that God is doing through you. I was so encouraged to hear what James was sharing about Larchfield and his passion. And, you know, we need people like James, don't we, who are going to push us out there and stir us up. Because that's right, the church is called to be out there. It's not, we're not supposed to be our own happy little club, social club. We are actually people of power that can change the world, which is very exciting. Are you excited about that? You know, I kind of think that I just preach the same thing in a different way every time, but I'm not worried about that because I know that that's what God has put in my heart to speak. So I just want to share with you my heart this morning. And, you know, those of you who've been doing the E100 will know that this week's passages have been from Paul's missionary journeys in Acts. Has anyone been reading those? Yeah. And so, so it's really encouraging. And so I was given those different chapters to choose something to speak on this morning. And I felt drawn to speak on Acts chapter 28, verse 1 to 10. And so I just want us to read that passage first. So before we read the passage, just want to give us a bit of background to what's been happening to Paul. So basically, Paul has been in prison in various forms over the last few years leading up to this. The Jews didn't like what he was preaching and basically they took him without real reason. They took him in jail and he's been thrown around from different people. But because he's a Roman citizen, he's been taken from Jerusalem to Rome to have trial. And so they go on a ship there and the ship is shipwrecked. And, you know, just before I get into the passage, it's a really amazing thing because Paul actually tells the people in the ship that, you know, he feels there's going to be a really bad wind and storm and they're going to get shipwrecked and they shouldn't go this way. But they don't listen to him. And it does actually happen. But still, it talks about how God, an angel comes to Paul and says, you know, no one will lose their life on this ship. So, you know, even though God has already warned them and the people don't listen to him, God comes in his grace and he still saves them. And so they come and they're shipwrecked and it says, 28 verse 1. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. So this is when they'd escaped from the ship. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius. I don't know how you pronounce that word, sorry. Who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hand on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. And, you know, that is an amazing story, isn't it? You think about it, Paul, he has been imprisoned and treated in terrible ways. He was flogged, you know, sometimes they think that he's almost dead because of the torture that he received. And he's been through all these different things. But yet throughout it all, he doesn't lose sight of who he is and the mission that God has given him. And, you know, we see here that after these few years of being imprisoned and all that's been going on, you know, and then being shipwrecked, which in itself is like a crazy thing to happen. You know, sometimes, I don't know whether you ever do this, but sometimes if I'm like in a boat or in a plane, I imagine, which is not such a happy thought, what it would be like if, like, the plane crashed or something happened to the boat, and how I'd feel about being around all this water and all these kind of things, and how terrifying that would be. And so, we can't imagine what it was like to be shipwrecked, but all of this happens to Paul, and yet he remains true to who he is in Christ, and he keeps on going on. And we see in Malta how there's a move of the Spirit, and I've called this talk Finding Favor in Unusual Places, because things happen in our lives which aren't necessarily part of our plan, or maybe even part of God's plan. You might be like, no, surely everything must be part of God's plan. I don't believe it was God's plan for Paul to be imprisoned and to be shipwrecked ultimately. But God uses all these different circumstances to bring his kingdom. And so here we have, it wasn't necessarily part of Paul's strategy to bring world evangelization to get shipwrecked on Malta. But there he is, he finds himself there. And while he's there, he might as well continue to walk in who God's called him to be and who he's been created to be. And so we see that as he does that, God moves. And, I just want to encourage us that the more we know and we walk in the reality of who God has created us to be and called us to be, the more we will begin to see God change the world around us. I just know with all of my heart, I'm always thinking about, I really believe in us as River Church and God, what God has called us to be. I believe, he's called us to change our communities and beyond our local communities. And so, I like strategizing and trying to think of all the things that we can do, how we can make things better, and all of that kind of stuff. And so, I always have this nice long task to-do list, which is beyond my capability of actually achieving. And, I think, if I could just get all these things done, then everything would be better. But then I hear God saying to me, no, actually, those things are good. But actually, the thing that's really going to change our communities is as we know who God is and know who we are and walk in it with confidence in the authority that we have, that's what's going to change Maidenhead, Marlow, Slough, Englefield Green, and wherever we find ourselves in. It's like as we are in our jobs, as we know who we are in Christ, and we bring him into those situations, that's what's going to change it. It's the incidental things that happen along the way that change the world. Obviously, there are also things that we do and we plan, and those change things as well. I'm not saying those things don't count, because I really believe in doing that kind of thing as well. But it's not just for those one-off events that we organise. It's a lifestyle of knowing who we are and who God is, and that he truly has set his hope within us. We are the hope of the world. Do you believe it? It's exciting, isn't it? I just be like, oh God, reveal it to me more, that I will truly believe. Yes, you've set your hope in me, that as I come into a situation, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and all that represents is in me, and I bring that into any situation that I find myself in. As we begin to believe that more and begin to walk in it, we will see transformation. And, more and more this week, I've actually been quite ill this week, and so I've been lying on my bed most of the time, which has been annoying for someone like me who does not like to sit still. But I've been really hanging out with God, which has been great. And, I just know, I feel stronger and stronger, that I just feel the Spirit saying, we as the church need to know who we are. As we know who we are and what our purpose and destiny is, then we'll begin to see our nation change. And that's what I'm committed to 100%, is seeing this nation changed with the gospel. I love hanging out with God and just loving on him and him loving on me. I love worshipping God. I love us all being together, encouraging each other in God, and telling stories of what God's doing. And that is absolutely fundamental to how God's called us to be together. But it's more than that. We have a purpose. We have a mission to step outside of our comfort zone and to just be Jesus to the world around us every moment of the day, not just when we're doing evangelism. It's a whole life. It really is. So yeah, let's just look a little bit more at this passage. So if you look at verse 2, chapter 28, verse 2, it talks about the natives. I think it's quite funny that it says the natives. in this, showed us unusual kindness. You know, there's something about us as children of God. We attract the favor of God, that God goes ahead of us, and in unusual, unexpected ways, we find his kindness and his goodness towards us. So here, Paul has been shipwrecked. You know, they hadn't eaten very much for weeks, and here they find people showing them kindness, providing for their basic needs. And so as we walk on this adventure of following Jesus, the more we know him as that loving father for us, the more we are secure in his love, the more peace we can have in knowing that whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, God will be there for us, providing for our needs. It's a simple thing, but you know, sometimes maybe we kind of resist giving all of ourselves to God because we think about the consequences of all the things that could go wrong and how difficult it could be, and circumstances that are unknown that we might find ourselves in. But we are children of God. He loves us so much, and in the most unusual ways we can find his favor shown to us. And he does more than just provide for our basic needs. He loves to bless us and just show his love to us. And I'm sure that we can all tell stories about that. But it's in when we're in that place of security, knowing, yes, I am a child of God and he absolutely loves me. His heart towards me is so good. So I'm always safe in him, no matter what. We are safe in him. We are in a win-win situation. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't cost us to follow Jesus, because it does. But any cost is always paid back double with blessing. As we give ourselves to him, we are safe in him. And you know, if as we walk more and more into being the church that God has called us to be, stepping out of our comfort zones, reaching out into our communities, wherever God is calling us to be, we will have more confidence and boldness the more we know that we are children of God who are loved by him and can be completely safe in that place. So no matter what's coming against us, because things will come against us, but it's like we're in this safe bubble of his love, and we have to learn to stay in that place, because when we step out of that place, we start to do things in our own strength, we start to try and work it all out ourselves. And this mission that we've been called to is a supernatural mission. It's not something that's going to be achieved in human strength. It's something that we need to do in partnership with God, completely and utterly dependent on him. As we do that, we're going to see so much more fruitfulness coming to us. But it's like learning to stay in the bubble of his love. Does that sound good? Okay, let's look at the next little bit about the viper. So as Paul's making the fire, this viper attaches itself to them, and they're all thinking, ooh, he must be a murderer after all, and justice will be done. And then he just throws it off, and it doesn't bite him or damage him or whatever. I suppose we don't actually know. Maybe it does bite him, but it doesn't actually poison him. And, you know, let's just look at Mark chapter 16, and when Jesus is commissioning his disciples in verse 17, he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, where I can't speak properly today, and they will recover. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? And we see that, like, Paul is actually walking in the reality of this. Viper's trying to murder him, and he throws it off. And that's the promise, the kind of promise that we have, is we have this supernatural protection over us to go into dangerous situations and bring God's love. That's awesome, isn't it? We can go into danger and God's going to protect us. You know, we need to know that we are supernatural beings. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. We are not normal human beings. We are supernatural. You know, when we come into the situation, we bring the Spirit of Jesus with us that can change things around. Danger can flee, as it were. It's good news. And so, you know, Paul gets invited into this guy's house, and we see that his father is sick, and he prays for him. And you know, we need to be a people who are ready. You know, any opportunity comes where there is a need for the kingdom of God to break in, we take it in faith, believing that God's love can come in and change the situation. And so, because Paul stepped out in faith and he took that opportunity, it opened up that whole island for him. You know, sometimes it's those little things which might not seem like anything much at the time, but actually as we step out and we take that risk, that something far bigger opens up for us. You know, has anyone ever experienced that in their own lives? where you've just gone with a little thing which seemed kind of insignificant but was a bit of a risk, and then something far bigger opened up for you. Anyone else? Yep. And so we see that as Paul steps out with this small thing, that this guy's father is ill, that then it says, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. That's a bit crazy, isn't it? You know, just that small thing. Paul stepped out, he prayed for this guy's father, he gets healed, and then the whole island opens up. You know, and as we walk with God, in communion with him, he will show us those moments that come that might be insignificant, but as we step out and we take a risk, something far bigger opens up to us. The whole town of Maidenhead opens up to us. A school opens up to us. Whatever it may be, as we do those little things, God comes in. It's like we give God an opportunity to come in and do something far greater as we walk in faith. And so I just want to encourage us this morning. We are extraordinary people. We have the Spirit of Jesus living inside of us. We have his resurrection power inside of us. You know, I just encourage you to meditate on the resurrection power of Jesus. It wasn't just Jesus coming back to life. It was he defeated sin, the consequences of sin on this world. He defeated sickness. He defeated death. You know, sin ruins people's lives. It has so many negative consequences that bring destruction. But the Spirit of God can come in and redeem all of those things. You know, I am amazed all the time when I just see God redeeming terrible situations. And it makes me even more passionate to want other people to know about the love of Jesus and know that he can turn things around. He can bring redemption. You know, no matter how much your life might feel like it's completely in the pit and there's no way out, God provides a way out. His grace does it. And we can't just keep this to ourselves. We need to walk in boldness and get out there. And I just want to tell you a few little stories. I tell you stories of the journey because obviously that's where I am and that's the stories that I know. But I know that God is doing all kinds of things all over the church. But, you know, for the last year, God has really been transforming us as a congregation. And many of you will know that when we first started, almost 7 years ago now, we kind of started mainly to reach out to students at Royal Holloway University as our kind of mission field. And as time's gone on, and then obviously people have got older and got married and stayed around in the village, you know, God's been growing our vision to really reach out into the village of Enkerfield Green. And, you know, we wanted to try and find ways to, because we would have things like our fireworks parties, and loads of families from the village would come to them, and it was really amazing times. We also had a youth club, or we still have, reaching out to teenagers from the estate, and we were like, we need to find a way to create what is going on in these places in a more regular way and really kind of just get out there more into our village. And because also a lot of no one yet, although now since we have had children joining us, but no one had had children yet, so we didn't have those natural ways where you go to the school and get to know people or different things like that that happen naturally. We were kind of in our bubble, as it were. So we thought, we want to get to know people in this village. And one of the girls, she had this real heart that we would have community lunches every Sunday, once a month, and invite people to come in. And then God also spoke to me about doing this thing called Life Worth Living, where once a month we go out, we offer tea and coffee and chat to people, we walk around praying for people, all this kind of thing. Anyway, it was a year since we started this, and in this last year it's completely changed us as a congregation. We now have all different types of people of all ages, you know, connecting with us in different kinds of ways. We've come into contact with so many different people in different kinds of situations where they just need the love of Jesus to break in, and it's shaken us up. And, you know, some people who are like the original journeyers, you know, feel like, oh, we used to have a nicey congregation and now it's not quite like it. But they're like, but this is what we prayed for. This is the reality of the situation. And, you know, it's still the beginning. It's not like I can say we've seen hundreds of people become Christians, but people are beginning to know that the love of God is good news. And a few weeks ago we had Life Worth Living on this Saturday morning that we do it, and we actually had different people seeking us out to come and talk to us. We had people who spent the whole time with us in the tent just hanging out with us. We had a guy who's a known in the village, got lots of troubles in his life, come in just desperate saying, please help me, please pray for me. And we had an event the next day in the student union. He actually came along to that. He's a guy in his 50s, but you know, it doesn't matter, came into the university with lots of young ones. Just proves that it doesn't matter. You know, people would think, oh, young people like that couldn't be relating to people of these different types. But God uses anyone who is available, you know. And I'm just amazed at the things that God is doing and the people he's bringing us into contact with. And it just makes me even more passionate to be like, how can we get out there more and know more of the people in our community? You know, we have quite a few older ones, people who are in their 80s and 90s, and they come to our community lunches. And, you know, I was chatting to some of them last time, and they're so lonely. They don't have anyone. Some of them, you know, they didn't have children and their husbands have died. And you know, coming and being part of a community that's full of life is just a real blessing to them. And I'm like, there must be so many more people in our village like you who maybe can't get out or wouldn't come to something like this. How can we get this community of love out there to these people? And, you know, that's what God is calling us to do as our church. To, you know, we have eternity to spend with him and have fun. And I'm not saying we can't have fun on this earth, because we can. But what I'm saying is, it is worth laying down our lives completely for this short time that we have on this earth to see God's kingdom come. Because the love of God can transform situations, and we need to get it out there. And, you know, the kind of things that I've been telling stories about are, like, I suppose, kind of things where we get out there and meet people that we don't yet know. And you might think, well, that's not in my personality to do that kind of thing. That's for a certain kind of personality. And, you know, it's not really in my personality to be that kind of person. You know, I rather just meet people naturally and chat to them. But I find that as I've been stepping out, that bit by bit, God's just given me more boldness to go and speak to people, that I'm actually amazed at myself. And I know it's not within my natural self. It says the Holy Spirit is giving me boldness and more confidence in who he is and the power of the gospel, that it kind of pushes me out. And, you know, I'm not saying this to brag about myself, I'm just saying it to encourage about what the Spirit can do. Because last time when we were out on the streets, I just spoke to every single person that I walked past. I just went up to them and asked them, you know, if they wanted prayer or anything like that. And I was like, where is this coming from? This is not my natural personality. But I just felt bold to do it. And I say that to encourage us, because, you know, amongst all the other things that God is calling us into as we go about our day-to-day lives, bring his love, I really believe as well that God is doing something on the streets in this nation. I know that here you've been doing healing on the streets and seeing God do awesome things, which is so good. And I just want to encourage you to be part of that team or do other things like that, because there's something that God is doing on the streets which is really special. And throughout the nation, you know, when I meet other people from other places, I hear stories of what God is doing on the streets. And I find myself that people, even if they think you're slightly weird, they're not, like, offensive. I mean, I'm sure there are some people who would be, but generally I find that people will actually speak, even if it's only for a moment. And you know, the fact that we're actually showing some love and concern for people, people are taken aback by, because it doesn't happen in that same way in our culture. We don't naturally just talk to each other in that kind of way. So yeah, I want to encourage us to get out there. Okay, there's just one more thing that I want to say. You know, Paul, we don't know what it was like for Paul going through everything that he went through. You know, I'm sure there are times of great turmoil where, you know, to be in prison, not have freedom to go wherever he wanted to go, all of that kind of stuff, that we see that his relationship with God, and as we read through the letters that he wrote during this time, we can see that his relationship with God and strengthening himself in God was the thing that was sustaining him. But as he strengthened himself in God, he was able to see a new perspective. And, you know, in Philippians, we read about how he's encouraging the church there in Philippi. You know, yeah, I'm in prison, but God has used this in the most amazing way. And all these people in the palace guard have heard about the gospel, and that's encouraged other Christians to be more bold and all this kind of thing. And some of us, we might be in situations right now where we feel like we're in a prison. We're constrained by these circumstances, and we're like, if I could just break out of this, then I'd be able to be free to do what God wanted me to do. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to bring your deliverance from that situation, because I believe that God does. But it doesn't mean that within the circumstances that you find yourself in, you can still continue to be who God has called you to be. And it's like asking the Holy Spirit to give us a new perspective on our situation, that we can see how his kingdom can come in the most glorious ways, even in terrible circumstances. And so I encourage you that if you find yourself in that situation at the moment, ask God to give you a new lens to see the circumstances that you're in. Because I know that no matter what circumstance you're in, God can use it for his glory. You know, he had that great promise in Romans 8 verse 28 about how God works in all things for the good of those who love him. You know, he doesn't make bad things happen to us. You know, I do not believe that at all. Sometimes, you know, we learn so much in suffering that we can feel like it was almost from God to teach us. But I don't believe that God sends it to us, but he uses those situations. He brings redemption out of them. He teaches those things and he uses those things for his glory. Sometimes in such a most amazing way that we can sometimes think, well, maybe it was good that bad thing happened because all of this good has happened. But I don't believe that that was how we should see it. But I do believe we should expect redemption. And so I encourage you that no matter what situation you're in life, no matter how hard things are around you and how you may feel constrained, you can still have a freedom inside where you know who you are as a son and daughter of God, and you can know the freedom to be it in any situation. It's good news. We are always in a win-win situation, always, no matter what circumstances are going on around us. But we have to choose to stay in that place of intimacy with God so that we are strengthened in him, that he can give us fresh perspective and we can discern him at work in difficult situations. Okay, so I'm going to close it there, but I just want to summarize. You know, the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit's work in us can enable us to be who we've been created to be. And as we yield ourselves to him, we will know that freedom to be the sons and daughters that he's called us to be, who are loved by God, who are safe and secure in him, who have significance from him, and who are empowered to be who he's called us to be, a church with a mission in our workplaces, in our streets, in our clubs, whatever places we find ourselves in. We can be those missionaries there, resurrection power inside of us coming and changing the atmosphere. We can be it, that God has called us as River Church to be an awesome church that shows his glory to our communities and transforms them. That we, as we go about our lives day by day, we make the most of every opportunity to bring his kingdom. And you know, it doesn't need to be this heavy burden of like, oh God, I just need to speak to someone about you today. It can be, you know, as we surrender our lives to God, it becomes the most natural thing and it just happens. God just gives us opportunities and then it's like how we step out and take them. And I just want to tell you this one quick story before I really will close. A few weeks ago, I was looking at a possible place where I might live in a few months. And I really felt like God really wanted me to go and visit this house, even though it didn't really seem like it was the right kind of thing for me. And so I went there. I met the lady who owned the house and she just showed me around and we're having a nice little chat. And after a while, she said to me, oh, tell me about yourself. What job do you do? Which is always a great lead in. I'm like, oh, I'm a church leader. And they're always shocked. Someone like you who's young, not old, is a church leader. So it's kind of sometimes a really way of people being intrigued. So I basically ended up having a conversation with her for an hour, all about, she wanted to know all about the church, what we did in the village, why would I want to do something like this. It was just absolutely amazing. She invited me for a cup of tea and I just had this most amazing conversation with her, and I was like, wow, really didn't expect that to happen at all. And you know, I think afterwards I thought, well, this must have been the reason why I thought I should come to see this house. But if I'd have known that, then I would have been planning it all in my head and it wouldn't have happened naturally. But it's just, I was so excited because I was like, wow, God really can just use any situation and it just happens so naturally for us to share his love. So I just want to encourage you that in whatever situation you find yourself in, you can bring his love. Even if you're in work situations where you can't be overt in a way that you might like to be, God can still use you in those situations undercover to bring his kingdom. So yeah, let's just pray and see how God wants us to respond.